And welcome into the Week 10 edition of the League of Ordinary Gentlemen, and the podcast you guys have been waiting for all week long. I know it's your favorite one. Welcome in the same co-host we always have, Doug Appleby, Sean Guida, and Zeke Lawless. Thanks for joining us, guys.
What's up?
What up?
Fantastic. I feel like a good jam-packed week this week. We'll jump right into everything. Best thing you've seen all week. Sean, what have you got?
Yeah, so as our regular listeners, including Jarvis Landry, like we said last week,
I'm sure
listens, subscribed, and rates us 5 stars. No, I went to the Ohio State game for the first time this weekend, and actually saw what I think what I'd never witnessed before, which is multiple personalities of drunk people, to the tune of probably 60,000 or so. And actually had a girl behind me walking out of the stadium who was so drunk she couldn't stand up and asked a police officer if she could ride his horse. And when he said no, she put up a rap about it and then ran away saying, "I just wanted to hippity hoppy on that popo ho." And it was the greatest thing I ever saw, and it made me laugh a lot.
He should have let her ride the
hippity
horse.
Hippity hoppity. I know.
Better story that way.
She would have only fallen off, but it would have been totally worth it the whole time. So
better story that way. Zeke.
Best thing I've seen all week, the Seattle Seahawks touchdown celebration. I love a good coordinated dance.
Mad choreography.
Yeah, just showing off. You know, we're not quite to the Chad Johnson, Steve Smith touchdown celebration duels. You know, who's going to do what each week? But we're getting there. We're getting back to showing off, which as a fan of the 30 for 30 U documentary, the more showing off you can do, the better as far as I'm concerned when it comes to football.
You would be a fan of the U documentation. That's just, that's terrible.
A fan doesn't describe his love.
I do love the celebrations. That was one of my favorites. I will say there was a lot of show-off celebrations this week with Michael Thomas reaching, going Joe Horn with the cell phone. Also interception in the end zone, taken back and stood on the star in Dallas. I forgot who the defender was for Tennessee. Took that thing all the way back to the star and pulled a TO, but nobody pulled the Emmett to go behind him. So a little disappointed in the Cowboys, just saying, a little disappointed. So so we'll jump right into it. So we got six games to cover this week if you include our Browns homer coverage. Should be a fun game this week. Actually was kind of impressed with them this week. We can get to that in a little bit. We're going to jump right into the Panthers at Steelers. We're going to follow this as we always do. Doug first, Sean second, and Zeke after that. So, Doug, break it down for us all the way.
For me, I'm going to go with the Steelers here. This game is in Pittsburgh, isn't it?
Correct. It is. Carolina at Pittsburgh.
So, been at home, been in a primetime game. The Panthers' rush defense has not been nearly as good this year. I think this is another big spot for James Conner. You may see James Bradbury do a decent job on Antonio Brown, like he absolutely shut down Mike Evans last week.
Shut down.
But they've got another guy by the name of Juju Smith-Schuster who should have a big game up the middle. I think the Steelers win this one.
Sean?
Oh, man. You know, I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. Begrudgingly, and this is way more begrudgingly than last week. I'm about to pick the Steelers only because it's Thursday night in Pittsburgh. I don't want to. I really want to. No. I want to pick the Panthers. Give me Carolina.
Zeke.
You know, I fall into Sean and probably most everybody here's camp. I don't like picking. The Steelers just because the Steelers are terrible for a variety of reasons. And I have doubted the Panthers all year, and they've proven me wrong. So just the reverse jinx or the actual jinx, either way, I want the Panthers to win, so I'm just going to pick the Steelers. So I've been wrong virtually every time I've picked the Panthers. So.
Yeah, you know, you're learning something from me. That's right. That's impressive. So Spoiler, I'm going to go with the Steelers this week as well. But it's not necessarily – it's actually a surprise. It's actually a little bit because of their defense. Over the current four-game winning streak, Steelers ranked first in the league in yards per pass attempt allowed, which is 5.2, and sixth in yards per carry allowed at 3.8. Now, overall, over the entire year, they're not fantastic, but the winning streak and the recency is showing me a lot. James Conner also has the most fantasy points on the ground through eight games. And I don't know, something in me says, Doug, I know that you mentioned Bradbury shutting down Evans last week. Bradbury's got this kind of, he's a big-bodied guy who shuts down big-bodied receivers. When you look at Antonio Brown, it's a different type of receiver than Mike Evans. He's smaller, he's speedier. I don't think Bradbury has the week that that he had against Mike Evans. I think he maybe helps him out a little bit, but I think Antonio Brown still goes for, I don't know, 90 and a touchdown probably. Something in me says it. I'm so worried about the Pittsburgh defense, and I'm actually thinking about playing Phillip Rivers in Oakland instead of Cam Newton this week. Even though Cam's been relatively matchup proof, I just don't know with how good Pittsburgh's been playing of late that Carolina can go in there and play well enough to win this game. But also Pittsburgh at home on a Thursday night primetime game, they're going to be up and the stadium's going to be loud. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh on that one. So next up, sorry, my rundown went away. Next up is Lions at Bears. Doug, what you got?
I'm going to go with the Bears here. I think we saw last week that the Lions definitely missed Golden Tate.
Yes.
Stafford has relied on him heavily to dump the ball off, get it out of his hand quickly for these low ADOT receptions. And it was just clear that he was missing. And with how teams have struggled to run the ball against the Bears, I don't really see this being a carry-on game. So I'll take the Bears at home to get the W here.
Yep. Sean?
Bears at home, defense number one. Detroit's defense 31st. And offenses can overcome a bad defense. So, or bad offenses can overcome good defense alone. So give me the Bears.
Zeke?
Yeah, I got the Bears. Line is -7. I like the Bears here. The Lions, they've had a couple of flashes, but they were, just facades. They weren't for real. The Bears are who we thought they were, a very good team thus far, going 10 weeks.
Who we thought they were.
Exactly. So I like the Bears here.
Yeah, I like the Bears defense a lot. Khalil Mack comes back this week. Just 15.8% of the opposition's possessions have ended inside the red zone versus the Bears, which is the lowest rate in the league. Golden Tate is a huge missing piece out of that Detroit offense. And when the game script goes negative, they take their best running back and Kerryon Johnson off the field. Opposing teams are just running 5.6 red zone plays per game against the Bears. I mean, it's all just going, just leaning straight towards the Bears in this. I would take Chicago and the points here. I think that they're going to do too much in this game. I think Marvin Jones is going to have a ton of targets because I think that that's the only guy that Matthew Stafford trusts these days. And two players, a quarterback and one wide receiver, is not going to be anywhere enough to beat the Chicago defense. So I am taking the Bears. So next up on the list is probably one of the games of the week. I wish AJ Green wasn't hurt, but Saints at Bengals, Doug.
Man, this should be a fun game to watch with a good many points scored. Although Breeze's road outdoor games are always something to take note of. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with the Saints here. They're just playing really well right now, but it won't surprise me at all if this ends up being a close game. I think the Saints are coming off wins over the Rams, Vikings, and one other team that was a real contender, maybe the Falcons in the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So this would be a natural letdown spot for them, but I think they're just the superior team and they're going to get it done.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Sean, what have you got?
Yeah, I think we've talked about trap games so much that I don't know that it actually exists this early in the season still anymore. And I think AJ Green, he is the most underappreciated wide out probably in the last two decades. That guy, all he does is put up numbers. I don't understand why he isn't in the conversation with OBJ and Julio Jones and all the Michael Thomas and those guys. Because he's been so consistent over his whole career. But I think that's too big for them to overcome. And Drew Brees is coming high off of them just beating the Rams, which was an incredible game. I think this is going to be the second largest deficit that we see this week in the NFL. So give me the Saints.
Second largest deficit. A little foreshadowing to something. Zeke, what have you got?
So Dez will be playing for this game, right?
Yeah.
They signed him today. I can imagine him getting like 10 to 12 routes. I don't imagine.
He knows how to run routes.
I mean, whether he plays or not,
he'll get in a couple of times. I think he'll get in a little bit, but he's not going to get a full allotment of snaps, not with the offense they already have.
Well, think about this. I heard somebody describe it earlier today. He is replacing Ted Ginn Jr. So think about the Saints team playing Think about how they've been playing with Ted Ginn Jr. And now you put Dez Bryant in that spot. You know, we had this rule, or at least I had this rule with the Rams, up through last week. I just take the Rams until further notice. The Saints are now that team. I'm just taking the Saints until they tell me, they show me until that I should be picking wrong. Them. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that. I think the Saints go into Cincinnati and take this one. I do kind of side with Doug. You got to be careful with Drew Brees on an outdoor game, but gosh, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. I think Traquan Smith takes over more of the Ted Ginn role than Dez Bryant does, because Dez Bryant runs not as fast as he used to. And like I said, I don't think Dez gets in a whole lot this game. It's just learning a much different offense than the Clapper ran in Dallas.
I really think the entire season they're going to use Dez is never going to be a guy that if they run 65 snaps in a game, like I think he'll be like a 25 to 35 snap per game guy. Like they're going to use him some in the red zone. They're going to use him in some packages, but his athletic skill set is just total dust at this point in time. Like I think he's just a guy that they know can win some 50-50 balls. They need the depth and he'll help in the red zone. He's going to end up being overdrafted on waivers this week by anyone that chooses to pick him up.
Yeah, he will not be on my fantasy football team this week or any week going forward. I don't think he's going to get enough work. Like I said, I think he gets 10 to 12 routes this week, maybe a target or two. They're not going to overuse him. It's not going to be an Amari Cooper in Dallas type situation to where they just force feed him the ball. Like you said, I think that they're just looking for somebody to take a little bit of pressure off of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. I think he sees some of those red zone targets, and then he just kind of takes some of those second and third cornerbacks away just to give a little bit of outside depth. But I'm taking New Orleans in this one. I just think there's too much in New Orleans. Cincinnati's defense is their pass defense is not good. Not good at all. They give up an RB1 every time they play somebody. So I'm taking New Orleans all the way in this one. So next up is we're going to the Seahawks Seahawks at the Rams. Doug, break it down for us.
Big bounce back spot for the Rams here. This is going to be a huge girly game. He goes for 150 scrimmage yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, please. Oh, please. Oh, please.
Wow. I don't know if I agree with that much. Seattle's got a top 5 defense, which I think people don't realize. I think he will get a couple of touchdowns. But wow, that's a big statement. I think the main issue, he won't get as many because I think the Rams are going to throw all over the outside defensive backs for Seattle. I think this is going to be a pretty at hand game. Maybe win by 10 or so. I'll take the Rams because they're mad. They did not like getting beat last week. And they didn't get beat. They got handled. I know the score didn't seem that way, but 30-20, I mean, maybe it did, but they got handled by the Saints. They're mad. Give me the Rams.
Yep. Zeke, what have you got?
I still don't quite trust the Seahawks. They're very hot and cold. I mean, is there anything other than Russell Wilson? Is there anything that really defines them in terms of a team? I mean, the Legion of Boom obviously is no more. Their receivers, I think they're just finding out like it's Springfield Park down here. There's just not a lot to love about the Seahawks, although they've won some impressive games. But the Rams are the Rams, and even with last week notwithstanding, the Rams are still insane. And it is a division rival, so you just never know. But even with the -11-point spread, I still like the Rams in this game. There's just too much for Seattle to try to contain, and they just can't overcome that.
Yeah. Seattle's going into L.A. Sean's right. Seattle's got a pretty legit defense. They are sixth in points allowed, and they are three in opponent's plays per game. But going up against a Rams team that's one in that category, but 10th in points allowed. This is going to be – I feel like it's going to be a good game. I think the Rams are susceptible to the pass. So I don't think like Chris Carson or Mike Davis, whoever is playing, I don't think they have a great game because it's – Fowler's had one more week to get to know the system a little bit. There's not a whole lot. Start all your Rams this week. I think that Seattle's got a good defense and they're better than I thought they were going to be, but I still think that they're just too much to overcome. They're still, even though they lost to the Saints, they are still my Super Bowl pick, even though I just think that they just got out game planned by a very good coach last week.
I'm going to disagree with y'all a little bit on the Seattle defense. I think they've benefited from a really weak schedule, and like you said, their ability to limit opponents' plays. They're running the ball a lot, but when they've faced mm-hmm. teams that have competent offenses, like in their four games against the Chargers, Rams, Bears, and Broncos, who all have okay defenses, they're giving up over 27 points a game. And they shut down the Lions, the Raiders, the Cowboys, and the Cardinals. So, you would expect them to do that. But I think you're going to see a monster game here from the Rams.
Yeah. No, well, thanks for proving me wrong. Appreciate that.
Hot Lions offense when they faced them.
I will say, like I said earlier, start your Rams. I think the Rams take this one. But Seattle's not the team I thought they were going to be that I talked about at the beginning of the season either. I thought they were going to be much worse than they are. So next up, we're going to go with Patriots at Titans. Same format. Doug, what you got?
Patriots here. I mean, I think Mariota is kind of a sneaky guy if you're in a two-quarterback league. He looked a ton better last week. I think having, so a little bit of time to continue to get healthy is big for him, but they just don't have the ability to push the ball down the field at all. They don't have anyone that can really go downfield and make plays. I think you're going to see a pretty dominant performance here from the Patriots.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Patriots are going to take this one for two reasons. Mariota was, I'm going to give you the statistic here, 9 years old the last time that Tennessee beat New England. Let that sink in. 9 years old. With that, Josh Gordon is starting to prove that he is exactly who we thought he was. He had a huge game last week, and it's not going to get any harder for him as they keep going. TFB is coming on strong. Patriots, not close.
Zeke?
Yeah, I'm with you. TFB, a team like Tennessee should be a pretty easy win for New England. I know that Tennessee has had a couple games here and there where you say, wow, Tennessee might be coming on. But think about their most recent win just a couple nights ago against a horrid Dallas team. I mean, Dallas is just in shambles. So virtually any team not named the Oakland Raiders would look great against the Dallas Cowboys right now. So New England, they're a 7-point favorite, and they win by much more, I feel like.
Yeah. The only thing that gets me – so I will say, going on your Dallas comment, they've got to get a new coach. Jason Garrett is just
– God-awful.
He's got people in places, and he just doesn't know what to do with them except clap at them.
Yes, exactly. He's great at that.
Great at clapping. I think New England goes into Tennessee and wins this game, even though my gut is telling me that I think Tennessee is going to pull the upset. I'm going with New England, and it's because New England away from Boston is much different than New England in Boston. So they average 1.8 offensive touchdowns per game on the road, and opposed to 4.2 per game at home. Tennessee is allowing 1.8 offensive touchdowns per game, which is the fewest in the league. Their defense has been pretty dang good, but New England's usage of James White with Sony Michel coming back this week, and just the amount of weapons, you just got to roll with TFB when he's favored by 7, even going to Tennessee. So
you should stone up and pick him.
I don't want to lose a game in the pick'em, so I'm gonna stick to the Pats, because I think the Pats will win it, even though my gut is telling me the Titans will. And it is what it is. Next up, we're gonna go to Falcons at Browns, and then we'll pick this one, and then we'll have a little Browns corner. Doug, are you wanting to follow the last 2 weeks and hear people out, or do you want to break our hearts earlier?
I want to hear the Sean take on this one.
All right, Sean, give us your take.
Browns, that surprises nobody.
No, but you got to break it down. You can't just say Browns. I mean, tell us a little bit.
Browns, Browns. Greg right. Williams has more time. The team plays differently. Schobert's coming back. Higgins is back. And healthy. He looked good. Baker looked good with Higgins available. And then people say, well, Casey's defense is weak. It's actually not. It's actually picked up the last 3 weeks. They've had really good showings. I think that Greg Williams pulls things out of people, out of his players, that are bigger than what they knew they were capable of. And Baker Mayfield played like he did against the Jets in that game. I was at the game. His plays were crisp. He only made really two bad, real bad decisions. One was picked off, one should have been. But he looked like he was able to get up at the line and change plays, which I don't think Haley or Hugh let him do. And listen, when mommy and daddy aren't fighting anymore, life is easier and you can be more confident. And that's what the Browns have now. Mommy and daddy aren't fighting anymore. And I'm not picking against my Browns ever, because I'm loyal down to the bone. So give me Atlanta to take the L, but I do think it's going to be a 24-21 game.
All right, Zeke.
Oh, and Denzel Ward is back. He wasn't hurt the whole game, so that was a big deal last week too. We lost our starting two defensive backs and linebacker,
yeah. Christian Kirksey, in the
first minutes of the game. So
yeah, Christian Kirksey and EJ Gaines both put on IR today, for those who are not aware. But we did the Browns did sign two additional Whitehead safety out of Green Bay, who was most likely dropped because he took a swat at Rob Gronkowski. And then we added another defensive back. Forgive me, I don't remember his name.
Yeah, so a point with that, that doesn't tell me that they're weak at the safety. That tells me they're moving Demaryius Randall up to play corner.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's the reason that the Browns got Whitehead is because he was put on waivers for taking a swipe at somebody, which, whatever. John Dorsey likes to take risks on some of those disenchanted players, disenfranchised, if you will. So, Zeke, why don't you give me your take on this one?
Philip Gaines is a cornerback they took, by the way.
That's it, Philip Gaines.
Yeah, Atlanta is starting to piece things together. They obviously had a slow start to the season, kind of failed to live up to some of the expectations I think a lot of people had for them. Starting to put things together. Cleveland obviously going through what they're going through. I know they got 3G leading the way. But I don't necessarily trust the play calling. I do like them at home. It makes me want to pick them because they're playing at home. But I think that right now, through the end of the season, Cleveland is just testing out the waters, both with their coaches and with their players, to see who's going to be around, because it's going to be, everything is going to be changing come, the last season of the year, come Black Monday, when everything, coaches start changing around and things like that. So I don't see good things for the Browns going through the end of the year, and certainly not on Sunday with Atlanta.
All right, Doug, what have you got?
So the Browns have only topped 23 points in a game once this year. And in today's NFL, that's just not going to cut it. I think they're getting healthier on offense. I like that they got Duke Johnson involved in the pass game last week. That was a huge difference maker.
Love seeing that.
I like that even though they fell, I like that even though they fell behind in the game, they didn't go away from running the ball some with Nick Chubb. The offensive game plan overall was definitely a lot better. And like you said, Baker definitely looked, the best he's looked since he came in against the Jets. And, I think admittedly they weren't really prepared for him. But there's just too much on the Falcons offense. And for a team that's having trouble getting to 27, 28, 30 points, I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up. I think this one ends up being like 27-23 Falcons. So I'll take the Browns to cover the 5 points, if that's what it is.
Yes, four and a half.
Yeah, okay,
I'm reading four right now.
I'll take the Browns to cover, but the Falcons to win a close one.
Well, I like that at least you got the Browns moving into the close one. I just can't – the injuries on defense in Cleveland are the most concerning thing. That's the thing with EJ Gaines going out. Denzel Ward got a hip injury. I realize he's back in practice today, maybe practice in full. You're still going against a guy like Julio Jones. And if you're not covering a guy like Julio Jones, then you're having to go against Calvin Ridley's in the slot. And I think he can have a pretty big game against us. And there's a whole lot of, pieces in Atlanta on offense that are going to be really, really tough to slow down. They've got an offensive line that's blocking very well for them. They're putting up 28.5 points a game to the Browns, 21.1. It's a top 10 offense compared to a top 23 deep offense. Everything again is tilted towards Atlanta. Like I said, I like how they played with Kansas City coming in. I know everybody's going to say, we lost by 16. Like, yeah, but you lost by 16 to the most high-powered offense in the NFL.
And that was with a terrible pass interference call and throwing a pick right by the end zone. So,
yeah, I mean, there's not enough. There's not enough weapons on the Browns offense right now. If they had another wide receiver, maybe Higgins is not enough to win it over for me. I don't know. I think maybe he had one or two catches last week.
He's coming off injury though. I mean,
so yeah, I get it.
Only the Browns had a wideout they could have started the season with.
No, if only they had a guy named Josh Gordon that they gave up for a fifth round draft pick. I'd be more interested. I want to take the Browns in this game. I really do, because I think that they can win another one. And I believe in Greg Williams and what he's doing. I actually have liked what I've seen. I think he has, if he can win a couple of games, I think he can get the full-time coaching job, even though Bruce Arians is rumored as interested. Screw it. I'm going to go Browns. I'm taking them. I'm going Browns. Screw all the haters. I'm going Browns, not just to cover the spread. They're going to win the close one. Come on, Brownies. Don't prove me wrong. Let's go get this W with Atlanta coming to the town. Anyhow, so let's go into Browns Corner. Zeke, I know you had some stuff prepared for Browns Corner, so hit us with it.
Yeah, so the first stat that I want to drop on you guys, since Cleveland, the franchise returned back to Cleveland, So what, 20 years? At least one of these things has happened every year in those 20 years. Either the owner, the GM, or the head coach has changed, or one of the coordinators has changed every year in 20 years. That does not lead set up for long term success. That was a surprising stat. Even I was a little surprised by that one. So I do want the Browns to get it right. You know, it's not total Schadenfreude. I want you guys to be a little happy. I feel bad for the God of Boys there. But Sean and Tim
and Baker, we trust.
Now, see, then you say stuff like that. You know, I like Baker, but Baker's not the next TFB. But here's what I want to get at. Here's what I need you guys to do. In the week since you got fired, he's been making his rounds. You know, he's been on all the interviews. I heard him today
all
on Colin
the interviews.
All Colin Cowherd show today. And you hear this guy and you're like, man, Hugh sounds like he's not what he's talking about. I can't believe they fired this guy. And then you look and you see he's terrible at coaching. But I want you guys to explain yourself. Hugh wanted Carson Wentz. Hugh wanted Deshaun Watson. Hugh had an offense that he wanted to run. They just wouldn't let him do it. Hugh was surprised that they fired him. He couldn't believe that he was on such a short leash after only winning one game in 2 years.
I wanted to get all A's and be a lawyer and live in a multi-million-dller mansion, but I have ADHD,
but I didn't study
and I was lazy. So great. Perfect. I'll tell you exactly why he was doing this, because he knows his coaching career is over and he's getting all the money he can and he's hitting the cash cow while they can. So go around and let everybody pay you to do these interviews, because it's ridiculous. I would love for you guys to go read Monday Morning Quarterback. Klemko went in and wrote an incredible article, and it shows a lot of what it actually looked like toward the end of the reign of Hugh. And it shows what we actually have in Mayfield as far as a leader. Listen, I've never heard a quarterback or a coach rather go up in an interview who gets fired and blame the rookie quarterback. Give me a break. That's like an obese 50-year-old going and blaming a toddler for eating candy on Halloween. That's awful. Hugh, man up. You suck. I don't have time for that nonsense.
Tim, do you have any less colorful thoughts about your boy Hugh Jackson?
Well, we may have lost him.
I guess we did.
Yeah, what we didn't need to do. I mean, we saw all of this in Hard Knocks coming into the season. Like, it was blatantly obvious that even though the talent was there, the franchise was still in disarray, not well organized, too many problems, too much dysfunction, too much dissension among the ranks. And it just was a problem coming into the year. So hopefully the Browns can get the right guy in there for next year and get things going in the right direction.
Yeah. Listen, here's what I'm going to tell you. The team was totally different this week. They played different. Nobody gave up, even after all the fans did. The team didn't give up. Baker played solid football. He was decisive with his throws. The offense made more sense. It played to the strengths of the players. If you go back and watch, even like guys like Landry and Collins were playing harder than they should have been, or than they have been, excuse me. I just think like coaching is such a big deal. And I know I said last week, my big concern is what you shared earlier is continuity. If you don't have continuity, then you don't have a good football team. And that is a huge difference maker. But if Greg Williams can show what's up, if Freddie Kitchens can take that next natural step and call a good game, which he did, there was a lot of statements about how they went in to the players and they said, hey, let's look at the playbook. What are you uncomfortable with? What don't you think is going to work for the guys we have here? And they took out a third of the playbook. You could tell that made a huge difference. See any stupid bubble screens on the line of scrimmage. There were no deep pitches, and you didn't have Duke Johnson touching the ball twice. I think he had 8 targets. He caught all 8 balls. He had 60-something yards receiving, and he had 2 touchdowns. Nick Chubb had like 85 or 90 yards, a touchdown. These guys ran hard. They played hard, and that's going to be the difference. The only reason the game looked so bad was because we lost 3 starters in the first 5 minutes of the game, and at 2 positions we were already low on. I'm not saying we would have beat the Chiefs. That's an incredible team. Watching them on offense was ridiculous. But we have the opportunity to be a better team, and Hugh Jackson – is just a total pansy, and I hate it for him. I wanted him to be successful, but he played all of us.
I totally agree. Well, hey, let's go ahead and hop into the review of last week's matchups, and then we'll move on to the previews. Hopefully Tim can hop back in here, but we'll start off with the Jacksons going in and getting the W over Falling Like Sean Stone. Led by a impressive effort from Patrick Mahomes, yet again putting up 34 fantasy points, carrying my Hugh Jackson team to another victory, despite forgetting to take Chris Thompson out of my lineup and taking the 0 from him. House still has a good team, though. I mean, with Melvin Gordon, McCaffrey, he's loaded, and should, if he can piece together his wide receivers, should have a few more wins in his future coming down the stretch. So Tim, I'll let you take it over from here. We've only gone through one recap.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Something
your game.
I guess I'm really loud again. I don't know.
Hey Doug, while he's fixing that, can I make a recommendation?
Is that better?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you change your name or consider changing it to I'm sorry, Hugh Jackson? Woo.
That's not bad. Fits.
I can hear it in my head. Sorry, Hugh Jackson.
Woo, I am for real. Well, that's why I was sorry, Miss Jackson. That's why I did it that way. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. I mean, because Hugh isn't actually a real man.
Nice.
That's and why there it is.
That's why it made sense.
Nice.
There it is.
All right. Well, thanks for holding on for me, guys. I appreciate that. Had a little computer issue, so we went over Falling Like Sean Stone, and I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. So we'll jump into.
Well, we didn't. We actually were just starting to cover it. So.
No. I mean,
you're good.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Just a quick recap. So we'll go Ezekiel 25-17 over Khalil Mack and the guys. This is one that we knew was gonna go one way because Ezekiel 25-17 had literally everybody on a bye, and he couldn't even fill his team.
Seven guys.
Yeah, left his tight end open because he didn't have anybody worth dropping. Deshaun Watson goes for 20. Julio Jones has a Julio Jones and gets in the end zone. Let's talk about that one, guys. Julio Jones gets into the end zone.
Very rare.
At Denver. His guys.
It came on a screen pass from outside the red zone. Dude still only has 3 red zone targets on the entire season.
Yeah, he's not getting red zone targets. And then I will say a little word about Mark Ingram for old Khalil Mack and the guys, but it didn't matter even at a big day of Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tevin Coleman.
Tim, it's almost like you and I both said something about Mark. You said last week that you expected Mark Ingram to have a bad game this week. And I think at the start of season, I said I expect Mark Ingram to do poo-poo the whole season because of Alvin Kamara. It's like we were right.
Well, I still think – I think Kamara has been – they showed last year they could be a top 15 together. But after this week and seeing the trends, I'm starting to get a little worried about Mark Ingram. But when I get worried about players, that's when they decide to come back and prove me wrong. So kind of make Mark Ingram to have a big game this week for New Orleans. Anyhow, we'll jump right into the next one, which is Here for the Beer putting up a season – or not Here for the Beer, sorry, Bless Him putting up a season high, 166.5, riding a huge game. Drew Brees, Kareem Hunt goes into Cleveland and does exactly what Doug said Kareem Hunt was going to do in Cleveland. James White. Michael Thomas has a career day. Here for the Beer still puts up a relatively good 118.3, riding a big game out of Jared Goff, doing what he does, and Brandon Cooks. Again, guys, I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Here for the Beer is a team that we're going to have to look out for. If they can find a way to scratch and claw and trust the process back into the playoffs, I really think that they could surprise some people. But
and Dalvin is back, so he doesn't have to rely on Lamar Miller as much. But Peterson got hurt, which everybody kind of expected would happen eventually. So he's got depth in the right positions as well.
Yeah, I think Peterson, I don't think is very serious. So we'll see. We'll see. It's an interesting one. Next, we'll go to the deplorables going to I'm with her, trust the process. Nice. I just noticed the name changed to I'm with her. That's nice. It's a good touch. I'm with her puts up a stellar 55.7.
What did you say about teams that score less than 60?
Yeah.
Zeke covers his face.
Yeah, I don't have a bag. I can't do like the ain'ts or anything like that on me, so I just had to cover my face like that. No. Look, I don't believe in real life karma. I don't believe in anything like that. But if there were ever fantasy football karma, it came and bit me right in the butt this week. I talked so much trash to Sean and to anybody else. Yep. So, what's my man at the bottom of the barrel, green team? I'm talking all this trash. I got my chest poked out like week three. Like, I'm coming for all y'all. And here I am. I'm at the bottom. Emotionally at the bottom. I've contacted everybody on my team. As soon as the podcast is over, I'm getting on a plane. We've got a place in Aspen that we're all meeting, like team meeting, guys. Like, we got to get our stuff together. This is the year that the process comes to be. I have a lot of problems. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm reeling at the moment. Bottom line.
I just want to say I was enjoying myself at a wonderful hangout in the 330 Cleveland, Ohio. And I audibly laughed out loud so much so that the guy next to me at dinner, who was not, I didn't know, looked and said, "What is so funny?" And I couldn't explain to him because it was so funny. It was perfect. I shade and fruited some. I loved it.
Yeah. 55.7. Deplorables put up their season low at 112.2. Todd Gurley has his worst game of the season, scoring 13.9. But Alvin Kamara rolls in three touchdowns to get to 29.6, and Cam Newton does what Cam Newton has done all season long.
In true Tim fashion, someone puts up a crappy game against you, and you get another win.
But that's the second crappy game of the season, I think. Like, week eight was the last one. I lost week eight to 143. I don't know the last time the least amount I've had was falling with Sean Stone at 102.1. That was the last time I had an easy win. So, anyhow, we're going to keep on moving forward. Biscuit in your pants, taking on the green team. Green team falls to 1-8 again. They're just, sorry, green team. Mitchell Trubisky gets 8 points against Buffalo. And Deion Lewis, 18.2, becomes their highest scorer. He's bit by the Le'Veon Bell bug. And Biscuit in your pants doesn't even put up a real solid effort, get 102.6, but they still get the W, and they stay at 5-4 to stay in the playoff picture. So moving on to week 10, we're going to go.
Oh, wait, can I say something to Green Team?
Yeah, go ahead. Give them a little encouragement.
Stop playing Mitchell Trubisky. He is average. He's average. He is actually at replaceable, number 18. Why you would not play Russell Wilson, I don't understand. Because if you would have played Russell Wilson, you were a point out from winning this game. So,
still wouldn't have won, though. No, wait. Still
would have won. He would have been a point back. I mean, he could have manufactured a point in other opportunities.
Well, his bench says he can't. He got 0 points from everybody other than Russell Wilson.
No, but he could have manufactured some points. He could have put Deion Lewis in the flex, picked up a wide receiver, picked up 6 points. There's a lot that could have happened. He played Tariq Cohen. Come on.
Tariq Cohen actually is a better play than Jordan Howard right now. So I don't actually hate that play. But moving into to the week 10 previews, We're going to go to Falling Like Sean Stone taking on Ezekiel 25-17. One of these teams is going to be two games over 500, and one of these teams is going to be 500. So this is it's a story of matchups. Andrew Luck, who has proven to be a little matchup proof, going to Jacksonville. OBJ is going to have fun against San Francisco, maybe on Monday night. We'll see what happens. Going against a guy who's got just loaded with talent with Matt Ryan, Christian McCaffrey, Melvin Gordon. A little iffy at the wide receiver spot, but he's going to trust in Leonard Fournette coming back this week to go to Indy, whose defense has fallen off. Anybody have any predictions for this one quickly?
Yeah, my main prediction is I would never not play Aaron Rodgers.
I was about to ask that same question.
So, I mean,
is Aaron Rodgers against Miami a better play, not a better play than Matt Ryan against Cleveland?
I think the Browns have given up a lot of rushing touchdowns this year, but they've really limited pass production. I think they're like top five in opponents' fantasy quarterback production allowed. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I would switch definitely it out. I would play Rodgers if I was him.
Switch it out. Come on, House.
All right.
I'm gonna go with House on this one. I think Ezekiel 25-17's his. I just don't like his lineup very much. He's got a lot of guys who can produce but don't, or have had like one or two good games, and he's got a lot of hope in his lineup. I just don't see it this week.
Who do you and not
he,
like?
By the way, he did pick up Dez Bryant. By the way,
yeah. Who do you not like on his team? Out of curiosity.
I think Marlon Mack is going to share a lot with Nyheim Hines, and I know he's going to play, but he's against Jacksonville this week. I'm not – Tevin Coleman's a good play because it's against Cleveland. OBJ hasn't gotten in the end zone a lot. Golden Tate now has playing with other guys. Tyler Boyd's okay pick. Ertz is a great pick. Breida is up and down. I'm interested to see what Mullen does. It's his second game, and teams tend to get more tape, and so I wonder what that's really going to look like, but it is the Giants. And the Cowboys defense against Philadelphia is horrific. There's no way I'd play a Cowboys defense ever.
Yeah. Like I don't like the reason I would probably take House in this matchup is just because, Luck and Mac have such tough matchups this week mm-hmm. against Jacksonville, but on an every week basis, I mean, I love those two guys. Marlon Mack is a stud.
That's what I was about to say. Marlon Mack, look at his last 2 week production. He's gone 126 and 132 with three touchdowns in the last 2 weeks against Buffalo. Yeah, who's against not
Buffalo and Oakland.
Buffalo's not a bad defense. Now, Oakland is a terrible defense, but it just shows they're using him as a workhorse guy. And anybody who's getting 19 to 25 touches a game is a guy that I'm going to play. Nyheim Hines, he's just shown to kind of fallen out of favor. I don't like Marlon Mack this week. And I think House wins this one. I don't like Marlon Mack this week, but as an every week play, Marlon Mack is right now about as close to a set it and forget it as for me as anyone gets. Zeke, do you have anything to add on this one?
I do not. I was currently trying to. I'm in such disarray talking about my team. I was scouting the waiver wire, trying to piece together a winning team to try to beat Sean this week.
Okay, so let's take a look at this one. Bless him goes to I'm with her, trust the process, which I'm sure he'll change his name.
Working on that right now, too.
Yeah, we're figuring that out. Go
ahead and reload as well. I just set my line up.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that you put in a defense, the Jets defense against Buffalo. If they play Nathan Peterman this week, they're just – which Josh Allen – Josh Allen may come back this week, they're saying.
They're going to take their time with him. They're not going to put him in a game that he's not to play in. He's too valuable long-term for them.
Well, Nathan Peterman is so bad, they might push him back. Yeah. So I think you guys both have some good matchups this week. It's going to come down to whether Tyreek Hill can bounce back. Juju Smith-Schuster against Carolina. If Sony Michel plays this week, you got to play him, though. But again, Sean's got Kareem Hunt and James White. Drew Brees going against Cincinnati, who's been allowing a lot of quarterback ones, and Michael Thomas at Cincinnati with a good matchup there. Does anybody, Doug, do you have any predictions on this game?
Man, gosh, this is a close one. I actually really like both of these teams. My my start of the week is going to be Josh Gordon, though. I think he's in a great spot with the loaded Patriots offense. He's going to face Malcolm Butler a ton, who I know Pro Football Focus has rated like 143rd out of 168 cornerbacks on the year. He's just been getting
crushed last week. Yeah, too.
He's been getting absolutely roasted all year. The Cardinals, I think, are giving up the most rushing touchdowns in the league. Them and the Browns are like right there at the top as far as giving up rushing touchdown production. So this is another week that Kareem Hunt should just absolutely eat.
Feast.
But I love Sony Michel this week if he plays, which I think he probably will. And that's going to be a big turning point in this matchup, because if Michel doesn't play, Sean has James White. So that's a huge, turn towards him. But I probably would pick Sean here. But I do like Zeke's team. I just think he has a couple tough matchups this week. I mean, we saw Gurley struggle last week against the Saints rush defense. That's been really, really good. You've got Tyreek Hill playing at home. We've discussed his home and away splits. So, I'll go with Sean here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm with you on that. If Sony Michel plays, it's a great flex option instead of Ito Smith.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot going on in this game with just New England at Tennessee. It's all going to come down to New England at Tennessee. That's going to be the turning point for this game. I'm going to go with Sean in this one, and I think it's because I think Sony Michel is, if he does come back, which I think he does, I think he's going to be on somewhat of a pitch count, and the amount of targets that James White getting, I think that's going to be the turning point in this one. But I think, bless him, we'll take this one. So
yeah, I'm gonna take myself to go back to 500 and be in the rightful place that I should, which is right in the middle of the league.
Right in the middle. We're gonna nickname your team Jeff Fisher. Lex, we'll go to Khalil Mack and those guys taking on biscuits in your pants. This is another interesting. I think so. Biscuit has not had a chance to update his lineup yet. I imagine he's playing Saquon Barkley against San Francisco.
That seems like a terrible idea.
I'm not going to touch a guy that gets 30 touches per game against a terrible defense. Nope, totally going to just leave him on the bench. And also, I think he'll plug in Duke Johnson, because if Duke continues to get the touches, he's going to have a good game. But Biscuit, so, I think, is going to start rounding in.
Here's my question for y'all with Duke Johnson. Obviously with the game script last week falling down to – because y'all got down 14-0 pretty early in that game.
Quickly.
Yeah, is Duke going to be a part of the game plan if it's close, or was that just a result of, hey, we got down early, we got to, play catch up here?
I think Kitchens wants to use – Duke Johnson a lot more. I think Baker Mayfield is begging for an outlet guy. I think he is going to continue to get a ton of looks his way now that Baker knows he can trust in him, and now that Kitchens knows he can call plays his way. I think that the Browns are going to want to get off to a fast start because they haven't done it all season long. So I think Duke Johnson is – I think he found a home with Kitchens calling plays. I think he'll continue to get a lot more looks, probably 10 to 15 touches a game. So I think you'll continue to see him trend upwards. I think he is a tremendous buy low candidate for anybody who's looking for a starting running back that somebody can put in every single week.
Yeah. So Chubb got a full slate of carries and got the workload. And Duke Johnson still had 8 touches and made every bit of them count, scoring 2 touchdowns. He caught every target he received. It's either 6 or 8. He caught every target he received. He's a player in the game no matter what happens. And if the Browns do get down, he's even more so a player in that. I think you got to put in Duke Johnson and Barkley here. Put Connor in your flex and move Keenan Allen up to your wide receiver. Let Aaron Jones sit because the Green Bay running back is worthless, really. And that's gonna enter into a win for him. Khalil Mack and those guys has got a good lineup going, I think. but he's got nowhere to move. It's kind of forced on him because he's got four guys on a bye and a hurt Giovanni Bernard, which is not a good matchup anyways for him. I just don't like the Mark Ingram pick. Kenyon Drake pick is kind of okay. Amari Cooper is going to come back down to earth. I'm hopeful Antonio Callaway has a big game, because if he does, that means a Browns win. But I just think the biscuit in your pants has got a much better opportunity to make some things work here, including putting in a Jaguars defense against Indianapolis as well.
Yeah, I think Biscuit takes this one because James Conner is going to be the guy. I don't think Le'Veon Bell plays a snap the rest of the season.
Does he come back?
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he does at all. I think he's going to hope that the Steelers don't put another franchise tag on him. I think he's lost a season. I think that if Pittsburgh goes back, and I think if they try to put a franchise tag on him, then they're going to keep all veterans they're trying to sign to stay away, because they now see how they want to treat players. So
he was seen in Pittsburgh today working out.
Yeah, he's playing pickup basketball. I don't know. I don't think he comes back this week. Doug, I know you want to say something, and if you say anything comparatively to Chris Godwin, then I'm muting your mic.
Yeah, no, I mean, at least his replacement was able to be traded for Chris Godwin. Imagine like getting such terrible advice that you're in the prime of your career and you leave $16 million on the table.
A ton of money just on the table.
As a running back at an extremely volatile position. And then the guy who comes in and
does better than you did.
Is even better than you are. Totally devalues you. So his agent, I mean, I said this before the season, was just a total dunce.
Like, fired.
Yeah, you should have been fired before the season, and definitely should be fired now.
Terrible, terrible information to ever give somebody. He has left a ton of money on the table, and if he ever wanted to be paid like a running back and a wide receiver, he's like, sorry, bro, you're not worth it. You'll take your $15 million a year contract I'm going to offer you and try to prove me wrong.
Can I just say, it pisses me off to no end that James Conner's come in and been better than him. Like, can the Steelers just not catch a break once? Like, can something just suck for Pittsburgh one time this decade?
Yeah. Last year they get Juju Smith-Schuster.
Ben Roethlisberger gets hit by a freaking car on his motorcycle and he misses a game. Juju Smith-Schuster shows up. Like, the worst thing that's happened to them is Shazier, and he's a Buckeye, so I love the guy. But then,
yeah, I was going to say, that's like – talk about terrible luck. Like, dude, yeah, goes in for
1 in 2 decades.
Yeah. I mean,
we had Kellen Winslow Jr. and Braylon Edwards.
All the luck.
He's drastically hurt their defense, though, not being out there. He was a good player.
Oh, no doubt. He was amazing. No doubt. You feel for the guy for sure. But yeah, Steelers are just all the luck.
I know they have two Super Bowls, but the first one highly questionable in terms of the actual play of the game. Amen. But they've had some regular season success. But they're no, you know, Patriots or anything like that. But you're right. They have lucked into some talent along the way. But I do have one follow up question. I just had to take a jab at the Steelers while I could. Were you bragging about Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow, or were you complaining about Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow? I had to make sure. I couldn't tell if you were like, I mean, we had those guys
No, we had those guys as in we drafted Braylon Edwards and then we drafted Kellen Winslow, and then Kellen Winslow gets in a bike accident and pretty much ends his career.
After being put on the hands team his rookie season when he had 8 touchdowns and breaking his leg, then he gets in a bike accident, gets staph infection in the leg,
and now he's
in prison for being a terrible person.
Correct.
Is he really? Well, Kellen Winslow Jr. is in prison? Didn't know.
Yeah, he raped an old woman, broke into her house and raped her.
Attaboy. Yeah. All right, even better. Okay, moving on. So,
Hashtag Browns culture.
Anyhow, I'm going with Biscuit in Your Pants on that one. Next up, deplorables go to the green team. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that the one win the green team have had this year. No, it was against Billy, wasn't it? I was I got beat by here for the beer. So anyhow, the green team, somebody else can break this one down if you'd so like to. Or not, I can too. That's cool. Demaryius Thomas is on
bye. I got you. I've been looking for a reason in this lineup, in this matchup, to pick against you.
Go ahead.
But as I look at his lineup, I just see horrific choices all the way down, mixed with a Le'Veon Bell who's been out all season, an AJ Green who's hurt, Gronkowski who's hurt, Russell Wilson going up against the Rams. His best thing he has going for him is the Eagles D against Dallas can come in and substitute, because the rest of his team is just horrific. This is going to be an absolute beatdown. Tim has some good matchups. He's got some questionable ones, some tough ones, but the reality is you're just not going to have to do a lot of searching for anybody, because you've got a lot of offense happening this week, but you won't need it. I think this will be 105 to, like, I think, man, if he breaks 65 this week, I'm going to be impressed.
I'll take anything that takes me to 7-3. So,
I hate it so much. You have the easy schedule. Drives me nuts.
Doug, Zeke, or either of you have a comment for this
game? I mean, what do you say about this game? I mean, Sean broke it down very well, but my man has outside – I'm trying to look. Like, there is nobody decent on his team. And, you know, again, the ones who are good are either hurt or really stupid and don't know how to negotiate, you know, the terms of a decent contract.
Not
so,
at all. Ruined it for him.
I mean, he, you know, through his fault or not his fault, I mean, he just has a god awful team. So,
yeah, I got lucky on a rough bye week. Go ahead, Doug.
I do want to speak up a little for the green team here, because I think Sean kind of touched on it a little bit, but he's had terrible luck. Like, there's no way.
Terrible luck. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
The Bell thing is so unlucky. AJ Green, unlucky. Gronk hasn't been healthy all year. Doug Baldwin, who I loved coming into the season, hasn't been healthy all year. Russell Wilson was like a consensus top six or seven quarterback coming into the year. And then all of a sudden, the Seahawks decide, you know what we shouldn't do anymore is pass the ball. Let's run it 45 times a game.
Yeah, let's not let Russell Wilson get out of the pocket. Like, no, we're just going to run with our lackluster running backs.
So he's not done much to help himself on waivers, but he's had terrible luck. It was pretty much a lost season. Yeah, I'm dealing with the same thing in my league. Yes, you are.
Oh, wow.
In DFL, ravaged by injuries. I've tried to do everything I could on the waiver wire, and there's just no hope.
I'm in the same thing in my league, DFL. So I feel for the guy. I'm not trying to dump on him, but yeah, there's just no hope for him.
And I'm going to go ahead and take this second to defend myself a little bit. Sean keeps saying that I'm playing the easiest schedule. When my team has points against is 113 more than Sean said scored against his team. So my schedule's been harder.
It's not just this year. It's an every year thing.
Man, go back and look. Anyhow, moving on to, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, taking on here for the beer, the league leading. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. It pains me to say so at 7-2. Here for the beer. I really do like what their team is rounded into, with Antonio Brown and Greg Olsen. Getting Greg Olsen, I think, was a good pick. Dalvin Cook coming back off of injuries. He has really spent time and pieced together, a respectable team. So I can't go with them this week. I think Jared Goff has a good week. I think Chubb has a good week. I think Greg Olsen and T.Y. Hilton get a little loose because Jacksonville's defense is not what they were last year. But Patrick Mahomes, David Johnson going against Kansas City. Larry Fitzgerald. I love the play of Larry Fitzgerald this week. I think that he is coming. I think he's going to have a coming out party against KC, and George Kittle against the Giants. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, in this one.
Yeah, I actually like here for the Bears team too. I don't love his some of his matchups this week, so I kind of lean my direction. One thing you did say that I don't necessarily agree with is the Jacksonville defense hasn't been that good. They've been a lot better than people realize. They're just dealing with they're dealing with a ton of short fields, and I mean that's just.
Well, the reason I say that
any defense.
The reason I say that is because they are just
turns the ball over.
Yes,
never.
I just they have their defense. Their team is just in shambles when it comes to like their culture. Just nothing is going right. They're fighting each other in the locker rooms. They're not the team that they were last year at all. They're still a good defense, yes, but they're they traded away Fowler. And they're just not they're not the same defense. Yes, they're still a good defense, but they're not the same defense.
Yeah, the Jags have allowed the fewest completions in the league, the fewest passing yards, and the fewest passing touchdowns.
So that's a good defense,
yeah.
Man.
Boy, there's boy, nothing else about it. Yeah, I don't know. I still think that they're not the same defense that they were last year. The stats may speak against me, but they're. I agree with you. They're giving up a lot of short fields, and that's helping them to give up less yards, I guess. But I mean, there's a lot going wrong in that locker room. I feel like.
But yeah, I mean, I do. Like I said, I do like here for the Bears team. I think this one's going to be really close. I like a couple of my matchups, so you know, obviously I'm biased, but
yeah. So I'm going. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. On this, does anybody else? Anybody disagree with me on that?
Yes, I do. Give me here for the beer.
All right, Sean's going here for the beer.
I like the matchups. The only thing I don't like is that he's got two guys playing on Thursday night. As we've seen, Thursday night teams typically underperform. But I like a lot of what else he has going on. Give me here for the beer,
Zeke.
I like here for the Bears team in general, but Doug has the it looks like here for the Bears just taking some bad breaks along the way, because you look at this team and on paper it looks very good, but I'm sorry, Miss Jackson has the proven track record at the moment, and I think the steamroll just keeps going.
Yep. So real quick before we end this thing, when I went offline, did you guys pick the rest of the NFL games?
No, we did not.
So let's go real quick. We're just gonna rapid fire these things.
All right.
So I think where we left off was going to be Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Doug,
I will go with the Colts.
Wow. Okay, Sean.
I'll take the Jags.
Okay, Zeke.
I got Indy -2.5.
All right. I actually am going to go Indy as well. I thought Doug was going to go Jacksonville, but I'm going to go Indy. Arizona, Kansas City. I think we can all agree on this one, Doug.
Yeah, we're all taking Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City on this one. Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills at New York Jets. Doug.
This is easy. You have Josh McCown, the GOAT, coming in to carry the Jets to victory. Keep my Jets playoff hopes alive.
J-E-T-S, Jets. Sean.
Josh McCown is starting this week?
He is, because Sam Darnold is hurt.
Hurt. I missed that. Did he get hurt Sunday?
No, it was more of a he's been in a walking boot, also known as a we need to just give you a break boot.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about McCown is he throws for like 350 yards every time he plays. Give me the Jets.
Zeke.
I can't pick the Bills. I got to go with the Jets.
Just there's no way to pick the Bills. I'm going Jets.
How do you pick a middle school team?
Great question.
Washington at Tampa Bay, Doug.
I like the Bucs here.
Ooh, okay. Sean.
I like the Bucs too.
Mm-hmm. Zeke.
Bounce back for the Skins this week.
Nope. Skins lost everybody and anybody last week to injuries. So I'm going Bucs. Chargers at Raiders. We can all agree on this one, I'm sure.
Yes.
Chargers in a route.
Yep.
Miami at Green Bay. Doug?
Green Bay, not close.
Yep.
Green Bay, not close.
Green Bay.
Green Bay. We all agree on that one, too. Dallas at Philadelphia.
Eagles, I will never pick the Cowboys again as long as Jason Garrett is the head coach.
Hey, it's sound reasoning. I know
I'm picking out of turn, but ditto.
Sean?
I know I'm now picking out of turn because Zeke picked out of turn, but ditto to the ditto.
I'm picking in turn because it didn't matter where you guys picked if you're in the first three. So I'm going with the Eagles as well. New York Giants at San Francisco 49ers.
I see. Hold your nose on that one. That is a stanky game.
In Nick Mullins, we trust. 49ers, yes. Get the dub.
Sean.
And this is going to be like a 9-3 game. It's going to be awful. I'll take the 49ers.
Zeke?
Yeah, I got the Niners, but I don't like it.
No, I don't like taking anybody in this game, but I cannot. I cannot pick the Giants. The only thing they have going for them is Saquon Barkley.
Correct.
So, anyhow, Doug, start of the week and lock of the week. Nail them to us quick.
Start of the week, Josh Gordon. Lock of the week, Buccaneers.
I like it, Sean.
Wow. Start of the week, give me Nick Chubb against the Atlanta defense. Lock of the week, you know, there's just not a lot of close games to pick from. Give me New Orleans at Cincy.
Ooh, okay, good pick. Zeke?
Start of the week is Carson Wentz because I need him to be my start of the week. And then lock of the week, I'll take the Bears.
Oh, of course you would take the easy one.
I'm trying to get good picks. I'm trying to give you the locks that you need. Well,
I think Alabama's going to beat William and Mary this week.
So I'm going to go. My start of the week is going to be Juju Smith-Schuster. And my lock of the week is Indianapolis with Jacksonville coming to town. Anyhow, that is the show, guys. Appreciate it. I need to go back and check. I did not count picks last week, but I think we all had a fairly profitable week. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong and they counted them up, so we can retally those next week. Anyhow, follow us wherever you follow us on Twitter at @TLOOG1. That's @TLOOG1. And also like us, give us 5 stars, subscribe wherever you find our podcast. Thanks for listening. All of the followers that we have, we appreciate you. Interact with us on Twitter. Make sure, Zeke, I need a Twitter send off for a Sean and Doug announcement for Sunday as per normal.
That's right. Yeah. If you aren't following, set up your Twitter notifications at Sean Gaida, at the Appleby. You got to follow these guys because Sean brings the emotion. Doug brings the facts.
Love it. Again, follow facts. If you find us at @TLOOG1, you can find Sean, Doug's and Zeke's Twitter and mine Twitter handles. That you can follow us. But thanks again for following us. Any last-minute pieces, guys, before I sign us off?
Yeah, Doug, you and I actually were pretty calm this week, I think. Very.
It's because you were fair at the game. You had to be a little calm.
Very fair and balanced, but I also bring facts.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say. I got nothing.
And on that, we will sign off. Peace out. Thanks for joining us. Until next week. We'll be right back.